to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. For our text this morning, we're going to be looking at verse 35 through 51. Verse 35 through the end of this first chapter. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master," "where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." We're preaching through the texts of John, what we call the texts from John. I believe, truly believe, this will be the last message from John chapter 1. And we'll be moving on to see what passage of Scripture the Lord will lay upon our heart to preach from in chapter 2. And so on. I believe, I don't want to scare anybody, don't go running for the doors, but I believe technically I have 15 points in the message this morning. And I want to challenge our young people, even our children, who take notes or attempt to take notes, I want to challenge you to see how many can record all 15 points from the message. Maybe I ought to challenge you old folks and see if you could pick up on all 15, but that's a challenge I'm putting out. I've seen the notes of some of the children in the church from the services, and they do an excellent job. And I would be blessed to see how many, whatever age, can pay attention and take notes of all 15 of these verses. The title of my message, if you like titles, is These Five. These Five. In our text, we meet five men. These are all saved individuals. I believe they were saved under the preaching of John the Baptist and had been prepared for Jesus Christ when he came. Jesus Christ is beginning his public ministry at the age of about 30 years of age. And he came declaring his kingdom was at hand. He claimed declaring that John had already prepared a multitude of people through his preaching for his coming and his bringing the kingdom. And these five men, I believe, were all saved under the preaching of John the Baptist. And they are awaiting, they are looking for the Messiah. They're looking for this one that John has preached to them, that they have believed in, that they have been saved through receiving, and they're looking for him. And these five individuals meet Jesus face to face. They meet Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, and he calls them to follow him. They're identified as disciples of John until they meet Jesus. Then they're disciples of Christ. Disciples of Jesus Christ. He calls these five men to follow him. And they, each one will. And he will one day ordain them as apostles. Eventually, of course, there being 12 that are identified as apostles. The first one is found in verse 35 through 37. And again, the next day after John stood, that's John the Baptist, and two of his disciples, disciples that had been saved, baptized by John the Baptist, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God," the second time he said that, first time was in chapter or verse 29. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. The first man that I see in this passage of Scripture is John himself. Not John the Baptist, but John, the one through which the Word of God, the book of John, would be delivered unto us. John is delivered to us as a personal face-on experience of these things. And I believe that John is the one identified as one of the two disciples in verse 35 through 37. In verse number 40, one of the two which heard John speak, that's John the Baptist still, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him, that's Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, the second disciple of John that would become a follower of Jesus Christ, was Andrew. In verse 41 and 42, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So the first one is John. The second man is Andrew. The third man is Peter. The fourth man, in verse 43 and 44, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. The fourth man identified in this portion of John 1 is Philip. Philip. Then in verse 45 and 46, we find the fifth man. These are the first 5 points of my message, if you're paying attention. These five men, John, Andrew, Peter, Philip, now Nathanael. These five men from John 1, verse 35 through 51. Verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and in the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. The fifth man that we're drawing your attention to is Nathanael. So you have John, Andrew, Peter, Philip, and Nathanael all contained within our text this morning. Now I want us to notice these five thoughts. These five thoughts from our text. We've seen these five men. Now let's notice these five thoughts. These men have all been waiting. These men have all been looking. These men have heard the preaching of John, have believed and been baptized by John the Baptist. And they've been waiting and they've been looking for the Messiah, for the Christ, for Jesus. And John identified them, or identified Christ for them. And then they shared the news with others of their acquaintance and of their number. These were all saved men, saved under the preaching of John the Baptist, where he came preaching, repent and believe, repent and be baptized. These are all saved men. And the first thought that this impresses upon us is that in order to know Jesus, in order to meet Jesus, in order for these five men to be looking for Christ, for Jesus, for the Messiah, they had to be saved. They had to be born again. And the first thought I want to impress upon your minds, and it's the greatest thought of the day. It's the greatest point of my message. And sometimes Sunday night's message overlaps, and tonight's message in Genesis will overlap, because we read about, in verse number 51, Jesus telling Nathanael that there would come a day when he would see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, which seems to be a fulfillment of Jacob's ladder. And the ladder that Jacob saw that we're going to be looking at tonight. But these five men had to be saved. And as strongly as I can impress upon each one of you who are listening, I would impress upon you your need to be born again. You don't need religion. You don't need church. You don't need the law. You don't need a do this or a do that sermon. In order to be saved, the fact of the matter is you must be born again. You must be born again. In John, the third chapter, John chapter 3, there came a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a religious man, an educated man, ruler of the Pharisees, a significant man. And Jesus answered and said unto him in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, what was God's message? What was the Lord's message to Nicodemus? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He repeated in verse number 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. Don't marvel, he said in verse number 7, that I said unto you, you must be born again, because that's a fact. You want to go to heaven? You want to live forever? You want forgiveness for your sins? You want to have the peace that we just sung about a little bit ago? You want to know that you're right with God? You must be born again. You must be born again. In Acts chapter 16, I don't know that I've never noticed this, so I won't go that far. But in Acts chapter 16, you know the story of Paul and Silas being in jail. And they're singing and praising God at the midnight hour, and God shaking the prison and their chains and their shackles, and they're being freed. And the jailer, fearing for his life because he thought the prisoners had all escaped. And Paul and Silas said to the jailer, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. Nobody's left. What a miracle. And he brought them out in verse number 30 and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What I don't remember putting much emphasis on is the fact that you see the word must in verse number 30. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God, to understand, to perceive. You must be born again in order to enter the kingdom. And when this man asked Paul and Silas, What must I do to be saved? Their response was, what you must do. Nothing else is important. Nothing else is stressed. What you must do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You must be born again. These five men in our text had heard the preaching of John, had been saved and baptized, and were waiting the coming of Christ. And Christ came He called them to follow him as they had been waiting to and anticipating. And these were born again children of God. These were saved individuals. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you believe, what you don't believe. You want to be saved, you must. You must be born again. Salvation is not a process. I can't stress this enough. Salvation is not a process. It's not something you work up or work through or work down or get around to. Salvation is an experience. An experience where after having heard about Jesus Christ, God shows you your sin, God shows you your guilt, God grants you repentance to turn from that sin, and then God gives you faith to believe Jesus Christ died for you. That's how you're saved. You must be born again in order to be saved. It's nothing you're ever going to work up and work on or work through. It's an experience where you see yourself a sinner. You cry out to God for mercy and forgiveness. He gives you faith to believe Jesus Christ died for you. And the fact of the matter is, separating away the fact that there are many saved folks here, everybody here had to be born again or needs to be born again if they want to go and be a follower of Jesus Christ. The only thing that separates you from me, us from the lost, is the fact we've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be born again. That's the first thought in these five thoughts we're looking at. We see these men meet Jesus. They meet Jesus and begin to follow him. And he changes them. This is something that Jesus does for all those that are saved. This is something that Jesus has done for every single one in the room this morning who has professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're saved, just like these five men, you have met Jesus, you have begun to follow him, and as you have begun to follow him, he's constantly changing you. You're constantly growing and developing, or you should be growing and developing in the Lord. That's the second thought out of these five. You must be born again. No exceptions. If you want to go to heaven, you must be born again. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Jesus Christ calls these five men to follow him, they begin to follow him. And in the immediate text and throughout the course of the gospel records, he's changing them. He's changing them. Verse 37 and 39, what are you looking for? Jesus says, verse 37, two disciples heard him and said, heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Something changed about them. They're not the disciples of John anymore. They're following Christ. They're following Christ. Jesus asked them, what are you looking for? What are you seeking? They says, where do you dwell? And he said, come and see. Come and see. All five of these men are eventually identified as following Christ, and he's immediately beginning to work upon them and to change them. The Corinthian letter puts it, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Brand new creature that's never existed before. Brand new creation. A brand new specimen that's never existed before. Why? Because they've been born again. They've been born again. And when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, old things pass away. Something's happened. all things become new. Something's happened. You must be born again. And when you meet Jesus Christ and become a follower of Jesus Christ and you begin to follow Christ, He changes us and He changes you. If you want a religion, if you want a faith, if you want an experience where you don't have to change anything about your life, you don't want Jesus. If you want something that is happy, come as you are type of a religion, you don't want Jesus. You don't want Jesus. You must meet Jesus, begin to follow Him, and He immediately begins to change you. Third thought we see in this passage of Scripture is someone bring their friends to Jesus. Somebody bring their friends to Jesus. In this passage of Scripture, Philip found Nathanael. Near as I can tell, they weren't related. They were from the same area, the same place, I guess. And Philip went and found his friend Nathanael. And there's a thought there. That is our third thought in this section, that we need to bring our friends to Jesus. We don't need to bring them to religion. We don't need to bring them to the law. We don't need to bring them to a church. We need to bring our friends to Jesus. We need to say to our friends, come see a man which has told me all that I've ever done. Come see a man. This must be the Christ. Have you brought any of your friends to Christ? See, churches are clamoring to make religion fun. They're clamoring to make it entertaining. And all the follow-ups that you do on the subject will show you that going the route of entertainment ultimately always ends up failing. And those that promote such things and those who get into the mega church philosophy will themselves eventually declare it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Offering fun and excitement or pizza or stuff doesn't work. You can bring a person to all of these things and it's not going to work. What works is bringing them to Jesus. Bring your friend to Jesus Christ. Personally introduce them to this one who you say is your Lord and Savior. Personally introduce him to Christ. Another thing we see in verse number 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon. Andrew found his brother. Fourth point on this section. You must be born again. When you meet Jesus, you begin to follow Jesus, He changes you, He changes us. We need to bring our friends to Jesus, and then we need to bring our relatives to Jesus. How many people here, it's almost a silly question, because it's probably true of everybody, but how many people here have lost relatives? Lost family members who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, have never received the Lord Jesus Christ, have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, have never heard you must be born again, become a follower of Jesus Christ, and He will begin to change you and will change you throughout all the course of your life until He receives you into His presence. This Jesus that we should bring our friends to is the same Jesus that our relatives need. And this is probably the most difficult. It's hard to tell your friend they need Jesus. They need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I kind of think it's harder to tell a family member. It's hard to tell anybody, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. That's going to come across as being so self-righteous, but it's true. You must tell them they're a sinner and they need a Savior. It's hard to tell anybody that. It's hard to tell your friend they're a sinner and they need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to come to Jesus Christ because they might quit on you and you might lose them as a friend. But it's even harder to go to a family member, somebody who's known you since day one. It's hard to go to a family member and tell them they're a sinner. They're in need of a Savior. They need to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. They need to be born again. They need to follow Jesus Christ and let Him work this wonderful work of grace in changing them every single day of their life. But Andrew went and found Peter. Ultimately, it wasn't to the salvation of his soul, seeing how he was already saved. But he had found Christ, and he went and found Peter and brought Peter to the one they'd been looking for, Jesus, which is called Christ in verse number 41. Verse number 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me, follow me. Fifth thought in this portion of our message is we need to bring strangers to Christ. See, Jesus is seen setting forth to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. Philip, who was already a child of God, already saved, had already heard about the Messiah and the one that was coming. And this same Jesus comes by Philip, which is technically a stranger. At least Philip is a stranger to Christ as far as a physical relationship is concerned. And this stranger was brought to Jesus Christ. You know, the key to church growth, the key to seeing folks saved and added to the Lord's church and being baptized, and the key to seeing God work in the increasing of the numerics of a church, lies in the secret that each one who is a member of this church or who is a member of one of the Lord's churches, each one should strive to reach one for Jesus. Strive every single week to find one stranger you can reach for Christ, one stranger you can invite to come to church, one stranger you can invite to come and hear about Jesus Christ. These five thoughts are, you must be born again. Are you born again? Are you saved? You must be. To be saved, to be forgiven, to go to heaven. Jesus himself said, you must be born again. No greater authority than Jesus himself. When we meet Jesus, we begin to follow Jesus, and he immediately and continually changes us. Anybody who's been truly saved for any amount of time at all must acknowledge that they're not the same person today that they were back when the Lord saved them. This man who was just here a little while ago telling me that he was saved in Sunday school 50 years ago, said the Sunday school teacher had gotten him a Bible, wrote the date and everything in the Bible and gave it to him the next Sunday. And he still, when I ask him, do you know if you're saved? He goes, yes, Lord saved me 50 years ago. He would have to acknowledge he's a different person today than he was when the Lord first saved him. The Lord saved my soul in 1968. And I'm not the rotten 9-year-old little brat that I was then anymore. I'm a 66-year-old brat, but what can you do? But I'm not the person I was. I'm changed. God is always working on me. As the song says, he's still working on me. to make me what I ought to be. Boy, he created all that he created in 6 days. But he's been working on me for years and years and years. That's what salvation is all about. So you must be born again. Are you born again? When you meet Jesus and begin to follow Jesus, he's constantly changing you. Is there a change going on in your life? Are you ever bringing your friends to Jesus, introducing them to Jesus? Have you taken any of your relatives to meet Jesus? Have you introduced any of your relatives to Jesus? Have you sat down or stood up or had lunch with or whatever? Tried to bring any strangers to Jesus? Well, if I tell them they're a sinner and they need Jesus as their Savior and Jesus died to save them from their sins, they won't be my friend anymore. They'll disown me and not want to be my relative anymore. I'll continue to be a stranger because they'll shun me. They don't want anything to do with me. Well, all that's worthwhile. If you realize nobody's going to heaven without being born again, everybody must meet Jesus, follow Jesus, and be constantly changed. If those things are important and necessary for you, then they're important and necessary for your friends, your relatives, and all the strangers you need to meet or are going to meet. So we have these five men, these five thoughts. And in about 5 minutes, as difficult as that is going to be, I want to look at these five words from Jesus. We have these five men, John, Andrew, Peter, Philip, Nathaniel. These five thoughts: you must be born again. You meet Jesus, you begin to follow Jesus, and he's constantly changing you. Bring your friends to Jesus, bring your relatives to Jesus, bring strangers to Jesus. Tell somebody about this Jesus who you have met. And in this text, I want to notice five words from Jesus or five words concerning Jesus. And here's where you need to keep your thinking cap on. Here's where you need to keep your hearts opened. And hear these five words from Jesus Christ. In verse number 38, these two disciples, John and Andrew, who left John the Baptist to follow Christ, had Christ turn unto them and ask them, "What seek ye? What seek ye?" I want to ask you that question. Why are you here this morning? What did you come to church for? Why are you sitting here on the pews of a Faith Baptist church? Why are you here, most of which have been here many times before? Why are you here? Are you trying to please somebody, trying to make somebody happy, trying to do enough good works to merit salvation? Jesus turned around and he didn't say, "Who are you looking for?" Jesus turned around and said, "What are you looking for? What are you seeking?" And I believe he asked everybody here today, "What are you seeking? What are you looking for? Why are you here? What's your answer? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know he saved you? Do you know you're saved? Do you know he died for your sins and has given you eternal life? Do you know it's all because of God's grace that you're saved? What are you seeking? Why are you here? What is your greatest need? Why are you here? What are you seeking?" They said, "Where do you live? Where do you dwell?" where dwellest thou? Second word from Christ is, come and see. Come and see. I find in those words, those three words, come and see, reflections of Matthew chapter 11, around verse number 29. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. And Jesus said there in I think it's verse 29, Matthew 11, 29, come learn of me. That's what Christianity is all about. It's knowing Christ as your Savior and having a relationship with Him because He died for your sins and knowing you're saved. But it's a process under which you are learning about Jesus all the days of your life. What are you looking for? Why are you here this morning? Why has God in His providence and His sovereignty brought you into this place one more time to hear the same old message? Why are you here? Will it be to trust Christ? Are you looking for forgiveness, eternal life, salvation? What seek ye? Jesus Christ says to those that believe in Him, come and see, come and learn of me. Are you learning? Are you growing? Are you developing in your walk with Jesus Christ? Verse number 43, Jesus found Philip. Philip was one of those who had heard the preaching of John. And Jesus just spoke two words, follow me, follow me. Have you ever heard Jesus say to you, follow me? Follow me. Philip heard Christ speak those words. And immediately he followed Christ. Immediately all these men followed Christ who they had been looking for. Verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and saith unto Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We have found him we are looking for. We found him who we've been looking for. All they would have had was the law, Moses, the prophets. We have found him. We have found him. We have found him who Moses spoke of. Have you found him who Moses and the prophets spoke of? Have you found him who the apostles and the early churches and even Christ himself spoke of? And in verse number 48, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. He identified Christ. He understood who Christ was. When Christ says, you know, Nathanael, the other day when you were sitting under that fig tree, maybe he's reading scripture, maybe he was meditating, thinking about the passage of scripture there concerning Jacob's steps or ladders. Jesus said, you know, Nathanael, the other day when you were under that rock or under that fig tree, nobody else was around, you didn't think anybody else knew you were there, I saw you. Think about that. Everywhere you went this past week, everything you did this past week, nobody else may know about it, but God can say right now without hesitation, I saw you. What did you do yesterday? I don't have a clue of what most of you did yesterday. But God sees. God saw. These past 6 days that have come and gone now, and we opened a new week before us, we don't know much about what each other does in these times of separation, but God knows. These five men, John, Andrew, Peter, Philip, and Nathaniel, were all saved looking for the Savior, looking for the Messiah, looking for the Christ. And John identified Christ to them. And as they had been waiting for, they left their discipleship with John to become the disciples of Jesus Christ, most of which would one day become the apostles ordained of God. And these five men teach us you must be born again. Are you born again? Are you saved? That's not something we ask trivially. It's not something we ask to make you intentionally uncomfortable. It's something we ask because we care. Where are you going to spend eternity? It all boils down to, have you been born again? Where do you find forgiveness of sins? Where do you find this relationship with Jesus Christ? By believing in Jesus Christ. Have you been born again? Have you ever met Jesus, began to follow Jesus, and had him begin to change you? Is he still changing you? I hope so. Are you bringing any of your friends to Jesus? Bringing any of your relatives to Jesus? Bringing any strangers to Jesus? Mostly to the lost, but I think there's something to be gained if every person here will ask themselves, what is your response to these words from Christ? What seek ye? What are you looking for this morning? And are you finding it? What are you seeking? Have you ever heard Jesus Christ? Can you hear Jesus Christ? Come and see. Come and learn of me. Have you ever heard Jesus say, follow me? Have you ever understood that Jesus Christ of the New Testament was the fulfillment of all that Moses and the prophets preached and taught and prepared us for? Have you ever considered the fact that God knows everything there is to know about you? He knows whether or not you've been born again. He knows whether or not you're a follower of Jesus Christ. He knows whether or not you've brought anybody to Christ. He knows whether or not relative, friend, or stranger that you have brought any to Christ. He knows what your response is to what seek ye, what your response is to come and see, what your response is to follow me, what your response is Jesus was the fulfillment of all that Moses and the prophets taught. He sees it all. Are you ready to face eternity? Are you ready to leave this place, humanly speaking, risk dying, to die? Are you prepared to die in the condition you're in right now? You must be born again to be in the condition to meet Jesus. You must be. No ifs, ands, or maybes. Let's stand together. Have a verse of song. God speaks to any heart.